There is a podcast brewing that's about to take over podcasting for good. The only podcast that you are going to need to tune into day in, day out, is the Member Guest Podcast.
If I can hit it down the middle of the fairway, that's great. But again, with the driver right now, the driver sucks.
John Daly, and you're listening to the Member Guest Podcast. Rippin', rippin'.
I'm not going to do it. Don't worry.
Second time's a charm.
Yeah, it just does it again.
We just ran through
I didn't
again.
Do it.
Grippin' and rippin'.
Jordan just talked over. What did you do? Tell the audience what just happened.
Well, so at the end of the intro, John Daly goes, "This is John Daly, and you're listening to the Member Guest Podcast."
And Jordan
grippin'
said
and rippin'.
Jordan said
and
it
I
with
said
John
it
Daly.
With John Daly. Yeah. Because I thought it would be funny.
And then Tony and I were like, let's take that from the top again.
It's all good. We're back into it. So welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Member Guest Podcast. We're here to talk to you guys today about some awesome things in the golf world. And the first thing I want to talk about, this is something that I find really, really funny. And this time of year is perfect timing to talk about it, is the PGA show down in Orlando just got finished up. And I want to ask you guys' opinions right when we get started here about some of the marketing tactics that some of these club companies use.
So you threw it out a minute ago, which is TaylorMade's new word that they made.
Oh, forgiveness.
Yeah,
so brutal.
Dude, it's super forgiving.
I don't think.
Is that a hashtag?
It's kind of like spinsistence.
I got rid of Ping, I got rid
whatever
of
the
my,
fuck Bing says. Spin system.
I got rid of my stealth. I got rid of my stealth when I saw that and just bought a Titleist.
I'm reading off their website. It's like, with Stealth TM, we pushed past the limits of titanium and welcome golfers around the world to the carbon wood age. How far are we willing to take it? Way past far and into forgiveness.
Forgiveness.
Who comes up with this
stuff? Introducing the all new Stealth 2, combining the elements of speed and forgiveness to unlock forgiveness.
Oh my God.
It's almost like
it.
There's been a shift in the paradigm.
And it says near on the tab, it says, it's like a cheat code. Reachable par fives, tight par fours, long par threes, bring them on.
Wait, you're hitting driver on a long par three?
How long is this par three?
The driver goes so far that you can hit it on par threes.
Oh, God. It's just
the
so
next hole, when you're on the hole before the par three, you can still get there.
Yeah, I don't get it, man. I mean, honestly, I've come to find that some of my favorite brands are the ones that do very minimal marketing, or it's just like stuff speaks for itself.
Yeah,
I've never seen a Mizuno commercial ever in my entire life.
Or Ping, I think they keep it pretty.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, it's true. Taylor. I think you said something.
Ping is the one that had the spinsistency or whatever.
Spinsistency?
Well, whatever it is, yeah.
And TaylorMade also says it's 60x carbon.
What do you guys think about what do you guys think about all these, you know, podcasts and YouTube golfers getting brand news?
Oh yeah, no, it's interesting.
I'm like all for it. I think it's super cool, but it's just
I mean, the economic, like, if you think about it, I was actually looking at TaylorMade's Instagram page the other day, and they did, you know, they sponsored those two guys that used to be at Good Good or whatever.
Yeah, Grant Horvath.
Horvath.
The views and likes on those compared to like even like John Rahm, who's like the number one player in the world or number three player in the world, like they get way more view. I think a lot of people that play golf don't know who John Rahm is.
It's the one of us factor. Like, I see that, and I'm like, man, good for those guys. Like, yeah, you know
right,
what I mean?
You're right. I think they're starting to try to market golf not necessarily to just every player who wants to be the best golfer, but people that want to have fun too, right? Yeah. So it's kind of like crossing that into that territory.
I mean, I can't tell you, my nephew loves watching Good Good. Mm-hmm. He watches so many Good Good videos. It's like he knows them like they're his best friends, but It's pretty cool the way the, you know, marketing in the golf world is going. Hopefully they change some of their made up words so they're not talking about forgiveness and
what is the Callaway one?
Shifting the paradigm.
Okay, not to get ahead of ourselves, but if the day ever came, would we ever sell out and go like for a single
Absolutely.
Brand?
100%. If they want, 100%. If they
Dude,
if
okay,
TaylorMade wants me,
you'd give
out
up
there
your betty?
I will push carbon all day long to the people.
You'll have the new
this
carbon
putter.
This is
the most forgiving driver I've ever played, guys. You should all go buy it.
Let me talk to you about the weight distribution.
Yeah, I will push that stuff all day.
So you'd get rid of your like Betty putter.
Yeah, in a heartbeat. I'd be like, welcome to the new paradigm. Yeah, I'm like, I get it.
Where technology and titanium meet, we're shifting the paradigm.
I hate that so much.
It's just funny, man. Like, some of the stuff, like, it just, you read, like, what they write in their content about their clubs. And I think the thing where it's funny for us is that golf club technology just has not improved that much in the last four or five cycles.
I mean, you can't get straighter and further. Every single year.
No, don't tell me that.
But I will say, I think each and every one of us always are looking for that that new piece of equipment that can just maybe step our game up just a little bit. So,
well,
I mean, obviously, if I'm saying that, then maybe the marketing's working. But that doesn't mean we can't make fun of it a little bit.
Well, no, I mean, there are drivers and there are manufacturers that are more, you know, draw bias, fade bias.
Oh, of course. Yeah, yeah.
So I do think there's an aspect of just, you got to find what works for you and not get sucked into the marketing stuff. Like, my buddy messaged me the other day and was like, hey, I'm going to get fit. You know, I'm going to look at the new Stealth and the Paradigm. And I'm like, have you even thought about the TSR or the Ping?
Or a Cobra? Mm. Or,
yeah. Like if you're going in to get fit, don't just like limit yourself mentally to two drivers. Just, you know, Hit five of them and just see what the numbers say.
But he totally might have seen and been like, I want the AI designed face that Callaway has. It's artificial intelligence from machine learning.
Maybe I can break out of the jailbreak.
That's what he was thinking. Yeah, he got on there and was like, I want the 360 carbon chassis.
It's just funny how much, you know, marketing manipulates people's ideas of what could be good for them.
We've all fallen
for it.
So. Oh gosh. Speaking 1,000%.
In an interesting transition, we were just talking about Florida.
Yeah.
I know Andy, you were just on a trip in Florida, so I'd love to hear a little bit about that.
Quick trip. Went, saw my dad, hung out with him for a couple of days. We played golf at the Medalist.
Did you see Tiger or Charlie?
Did not see Tiger or Charlie, who remembers there. But played the golf course. The golf course was amazing. I'm not kidding. The best greens I've ever been on, ever in my life. They were so good. They were just glass. You just breathe on the ball.
I mean, if you're playing host to Tiger every day,
yeah,
you probably better unbelievably be pretty
dude, that's the best
golf course. I hit it okay at the Medalist, and then we played at the Dye Preserve, which is a lot of there's been a lot of YouTube content at the Dye Preserve recently. It was cool. The Dye is awesome. Really great golf course. Some people say it's got the best layout in South Florida. It's really well conditioned, amazing facility, incredible, like elite top tier locker room, like one of the better ones I've seen. yeah, it was great, man. Struggled with a little bit with the two-way miss, but we grinded our way around. And
on the other side of the spectrum, another member of the podcast here is going to be going on a little trip here, an annual one. I'm looking up at the flag above your head here. You're heading out to the
what flag's above my head?
Waste Management.
Oh, is
Phoenix
it?
Open.
Yeah, I am. I've gone every year the last 5 years now, and this year will be a little crazier because it's Super Bowl is in Arizona.
It's gonna be crazy.
Yeah, so they've got the Waste Management, they've got, you know, they usually do a pretty cool concert out there. I don't know who it is. I think last year was Chainsmokers. One of my buddies was like, yeah, I don't know if it was last year or 2 years ago, and he saw Tony Finau. He missed the cut and he was just like at the concert. You know, it's just like
awesome.
Dude, fist pumping
so
Kygo
awesome.
Or Chainsmokers or something out there.
That's pretty sick.
So yeah, they'll have the Super Bowl out there. I'm gonna play I'm playing in the Bob Does Sports tournament on Wednesday.
Nice.
Oh, sweet.
Bob's in our intro. And I was going to be out there, and I saw on their Instagram page they were doing something. And I was like, yeah, let's play. So I rounded up a group, got three guys, and then our fourth, that's the random guy, I think I told you guys about him. He just was looking for a team on the page. And I selfishly looked up his handicap before, nice. Reaching out. He was like a plus two. So I hit him up. I was like, hey, man, yeah, we totally need an extra guy. And we started talking like, yeah, it's a scramble.
Sick.
So we started talking, really cool dude. He knows like Cockrack and has played with, he's the member. What's that place in Ohio?
What did you say?
Cockrack? Jason Cockrack?
I'm pretty sure it's Jason Cockrack.
Is it Cockrack? Wait, so he's Cockrack or Cockrack? Firestone?
Yeah, he's at Firestone.
Okay, nice. Firestone.
It's that guy. Mm. And he's played at Windsong before. It's just crazy how such a small world is. Yeah.
Oh, sweet.
He's got like clients in Minnesota and he's played out here before. Really, and
I think registers at Firestone or was at Firestone today. I saw him post an Instagram story. He was out there.
Well, I don't think so. Firestone's in Ohio.
Oh, what's the fire? I'll have to look
back. I do know what you're talking
about. It's fire something.
It looked really cool.
The courses down there are just amazing, aren't they?
Yeah, so we're playing Quintero Tuesday, the Bob Does Sports thing on Wednesday.
That's
going to
be sick.
And then Greyhawk on Saturday. We're not going to Waste Management Saturday just because it's so crazy.
So busy.
And we'll be with Jared. I think Jared's episode is actually going to drop that week. So I wouldn't be doing him justice if I didn't at least pick my winner for this year's Waste Management Open. So I hate it because he just won, but I think Homa.
You like Homa?
I love Homa.
Guy's on fire.
Yeah.
I read a stat the other day that Max Homa has more wins than any other player
State of California?
In the last 25 months.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Six or seven? Or
it's six. Like six wins.
Six.
Wow. It was something crazy. Don't quote me on that, but it's something like that. Anyways, yeah, that's a great pick, and
you guys should come next year.
Yeah, love to. I've been before.
It's one of the such a fun tournament, and we don't go on the Saturday normally just because it's so crazy, and it's really funny that Sunday is actually one of the least busy days.
Yeah.
Because Friday and Saturday, like everybody is there, and 80% of the people don't watch golf. And you go Sunday, which is the final day. It's Super Bowl Sunday for one. And so, like, the end of the tournament is literally right when kickoff's about to start for the Super Bowl.
Yeah, that's
and then, like, nobody's there because Saturday, you know, they're all out drinking. And it's so funny when you watch, like, these guys in suits and these girls in 6-inch heels not realize that
they have to walk across grass.
You have to walk, like, really far, even to get to the 16th hole from where, like, when you first walk into the tournament, it's at least a mile, like, minimum a mile. And unless you're like Chris Paul, who I saw once on the back of a, cart getting out to the 16th hole, like you're walking it. They don't care who you are. There's hundreds of thousands of people there. And it's just really funny to watch people and, like, dressed to the nines going to the 16th hole and they got to walk, you know, mile or 2 miles to get there. And by the time they get there, they're just.
Yeah. You see some videos like of early in the morning when people are just mad dashing it. The general admission people are just mad dashing it to get to the seats. Yeah. So
it's a great tournament though.
So anyways, it's an awesome tournament to watch. And so someday we'll all have to go together for sure. In a little bit of a shift in talking about the biggest party in golf, we can kind of make a transition now to what the basis of our episode is here today, and that's talking a little bit about the home of golf.
Ooh, good transition.
And
nice job.
Andy is here to tell us a little bit about a trip that he took. I don't want to steal his thunder, but he was able to go over to Scotland and see a number of the home of golf courses and have some experiences and we're here to just chat a little bit about that and hear the story. And I personally want to find out the impetus of why you even decided to make this trip. And then I want to hear about everything. I want to hear about waiting in line at the old course. I want to hear about everything you have to share with us. So,
well, cool. And real quick too, before you go, I think, you know, we have talked about kind of the goals of the podcast as well, and telling people like the unique things in golf. And, you know, a lot of people go out there, you know, on the interwebs and try and figure out like, you know, where I should go on trips. And we actually had a listener, you know, write in like, hey, where can we go on like weekend golf trips? And this will be kind of like a good start to the series of just recapping places that we've been to, trips to go on. Like, I haven't been here. Obviously it'd be awesome. I haven't been to Bandon Dunes. You guys are going to do a recap on Bandon Dunes. You know, we'll talk about some of our favorite places in Arizona, and we want to be able to tell people, you know, our experiences and what they need to know when they go on these trips. Because, like, when you go to Abandon, when I hear from you guys, I had no idea there's, like, the 9 courses or something crazy like that, right?
Six or
and
seven,
it's a four-hour drive unless you fly private, that type of thing. So, like, you know, we want to be able to share this stuff with people, and I can't wait to hear about the home of golf and your trip. And
yeah, so let's start out from the get-go. Like, what, you know, you had the opportunity, you had some time off of work, or how did this even come up?
So it came up last February, about a year ago. Sarah and I were having dinner at Latitude 41. 45 over on 55.
Great Korean barbecue wings.
Lap 14.
And they have this like spicy
used to live over there.
Fried rice that's fantastic. I was eating that. We were buzzing, having a great time. And Sarah had a work trip to go to Cabo for work for like a real estate convention. And she was leaving in a couple weeks and we were talking. I was feeling a little burnt out from work. And she actually, to her credit, was like, why don't you go somewhere when I'm in Mexico? And I was like, you know what? That's a great idea. And I was like, I want to go to Scotland. I don't know. I just thought of it and like went on the Delta app right then and there. We're sitting at dinner. I was like, if I'm going to do this, like so this is one thing. And I think part of the impetus of this episode is to also kind of cue folks into sort of the, like, how to plan a golf trip. There's a couple ways to do it, right? One is, you know, way in advance, you have 12 guys, you go, like, it's a whole thing. You have an agenda, you hire a company. Like, that's a great way to go to Scotland.
I've done it before. For sure.
Unbelievable. The other way, which is probably the road less traveled, is just book a flight and go. Like, you know, and that's what I did. So we got on the app. I, you know,
one way
that she, no, I booked a two way, picked the dates that she was going. Booked a ticket on my Delta app. It was like reasonably priced. Boom, hit purchase, bought it, hit it, went home, went to bed, got up the next morning and said, oh my God, I'm going to Scotland in 2 weeks, you know?
That's so sick.
Had no tee times, like nothing, right? And so...
For golf, right? Like you were
I was
like,
going to play golf. I was going to take my sticks. So what I did is...
Solo, by the way. Solo. Sorry for interrupting you, but by yourself.
Totally. And like, I had never really traveled like that alone. I felt like it was something I needed to do. I just felt like, you know, it would just be an amazing experience to go by myself. And golf is one of those games. It's a social game. And so it's like, I knew like I would meet people and get paired with people and make friends and all that. So I wasn't really too worried about it. But the next day, what I did, which is a pro tip, you know, do this if you're going someplace, just email the pro shop. So I picked all the courses I wanted to play. I was flying into Glasgow, so I kind of looked at a map and I was like, all right, what's on my list? What do I want to play? And I started emailing pro shops. And I just said in the email, hi, you know, my name's Andy, coming over from America. I'm a member at this golf club called Windsong Farm. Here's my handicap. I'm going to be in the area from this date to this date. Is there any availability for like any tee times? And literally within hours, I start getting responses from the pro shops in Scotland. And they're like, you know, yeah, we can have you this day. We can have you that. So I'm just like from my phone, just coordinating. And the next thing I know, within the next couple of days, like I had this whole trip planned out from just emailing pro shops.
Give us a rundown of some of the courses that you played. I know we're going to get deep into it, but give me a top five courses that you played.
Well, and how big is Scotland?
You can drive around the country in like many hours, but like it's not, you want to, when you go to Scotland, you want to really pick like one or two areas because, you know, instead of driving like 5-6 hours to play one course, like you can get a lot of good golf in certain areas. So
sure.
I just planned it like geographically. I knew like the one thing I knew I wanted to play the old course because I hadn't played it. So I was like, that's like my must. And you can't get a tee time at the old course. So I'll get into that in a minute. But around St. Andrews, if you go south, like east of Edinburgh, there's the Scottish Gulf Coast, which is riddled with like unbelievable golf courses. That's where Muirfield is. It's where Gullen is. It's where North Berwick is. And these are all top 100s in the world, Dunbar and many others. Mm. And so I was like, all right, I know I'm going to do kind of, I'll do a couple days in that area and I'll go up to St. Andrews. I'll do a couple days in that area. And when I'm at St. Andrews, I'm going to try to play. I'm going to try to play the old course. Like that's my mission. If I can't play the old course, I'll play one of the other ones. Cause it, you know, there's the Castle course. There's
the new
unfortunately,
course, the
yeah, old, yeah. Unfortunately Carnoustie was closed when I was there. Cause I was in March. So was King's Barn. So I couldn't play either, but I was like, it's worth it. I'm going to go up to St. Andrews. So I'm going to do. So I flew into Glasgow, rented a car, went like took a bus to the rental car area, got in the car. And of course, like you're on the other side of the car.
So you read my mind. I was about to say, do they drive on the other side of the road?
They do. And like, you're on the right side. So like I flew overnight through Amsterdam and, Delta, of course, great airline. It was an easy experience. Got into Glasgow in the morning. So the next morning, you know, I slept a little bit on the plane, but I get out in the morning, I go rent the car, I get in the car, and I'm like, I haven't really slept a lot. And next thing you know, like, I'm on the freaking highway.
On the wrong side of the road.
On the wrong side of the road, man. And
trying to drive
so
a manual
weird.
Transmission yeah, with no, your
I,
left
I
hand.
I did get an automatic.
Can
I was
you
like,
imagine?
Holy shit. Yeah. So I'm ripping, and I knew I had emailed and I had had a time to play golf at a place called Kilspindie Golf Club, which is one of the oldest golf clubs in the world. It's a very short course, but it's right there on the water. It's one of the oldest links courses in the world. So I show up at Kilspindie, and I mean, like, I get in the car and I leave Glasgow. It's, well, I don't know what, remember exactly the drive. It was probably an hour and a half.
Just delirious from an overnight flight.
Delirious, man. I rip in the parking lot. It's like the most beautiful, like, historic drive ever to get in there. There's like a stone wall on my left, like meadows on the right. I see the golf course. I see the ocean. I park my car. I get out. I'm in my clothes I flew on the plane in. I lace up my spikes. I grab my McKinsey bag and I hump it to the pro shop and I say, Andy Thomas, I'm here to play golf, right? And they're like, yes, sir, we're expecting you. And in Scotland, what's really cool about Scotland is all of the clubs they're semi-private. So they have members, but they're open to public play. And you usually get paired with members, and typically a member will be your caddy. Is kind of how they do it over there, which is kind of cool. So like
that's really cool.
Like, show we were at Windsong, we'd go caddy once a month or once a week, and you can make a little dough as a member, and you get to show guys around your course and meet people. So it's a pretty
that's a
cool,
fun idea, yeah.
Isn't it?
Instead
yeah,
of just like riding
have
along,
to caddy
yeah.
as part
you don't
of
have
their
to.
Membership.
No, but many like, of the guys do because you know the other thing about golf in Scotland is it's not really an elitist sport over there. You know, depending on the golf club, like you get guys that are. You know, plumbers, electricians, carpenters that are members of golf clubs. So it's very different than the U.S. in that sense. So I get paired with these two members. You know, they've been there forever at the club. You know, they're just like a couple salty old Scottish guys, right? We get to, I can't even like feel my hands. The opening hole at Kilspindie is a par three, which is like, I guess it's just a very Scottish thing. Like, and it was epic, man. We played Kilspindie, had a great time. It was an amazing golf course, like amazing. Can't recommend it. But it's not, you know, the other thing about going on these trips is a lot of people go to Scotland and they're like, I want to play the open venues, right? So they're like.
The Rota.
I want to play the Rota. If you, I get it. Like my advice to people is like get a Rota destination or two, but do not skip out on the classic links. Kilspindie can't host an open because it's not long enough and they can't get enough spectators in there. It doesn't mean it's not one of the best golf courses in the world.
It's a good
it's
point.
It's unbelievable. So that's one tip is don't be married to the Rota courses. Just because
I feel
you
like
wanna...
I feel like that sounds like a very American thing. Like I'm going to go
totally,
play the
yeah.
Rota.
Yeah, we played Kilspindie and we played Royal this and Royal that and it was very royal. It's like I get it. It's cool. You can tell all your buddies that you played where they played the British Open, but like most of those courses are going to kick your ass and not be, you know what I mean? Like,
well, they're all going to be somewhat of a new experience if you've never been there, right? Totally. No matter if it's the nicest course in the area or the least played course, it's going to be, 100%. Yeah.
So Kilspindie, get in the car, drive from Kilspindie. I go and I check into a little inn that was not far from there in the town of North Berwick. I order fish and chips. I'm sitting by myself. There's a beautiful, warm, buzzing fire next to me. I'm in this little inn. It's like, and the next morning I knew because it was a Tuesday, I was going to play Muirfield. And for those of you who do not know, the Honorable Company of Edinburgh Golfers, Muirfield's like kind of a big deal. Most people think it's really hard to get onto. Again, I emailed the pro shop. They're like, come on out on Tuesday because Tuesday's guest day there. So Muirfield, very traditional, one of the most traditional golf clubs in the world. In fact, I don't think they had women members until very recently, like the last year or two. Show up at Muirfield, get the next morning. First of all, Scottish breakfasts, low-key, don't sleep on them. They're incredible. They're like feasts in the morning. Like it's massive. So I'm crushing like all the breakfasts, and I get over there. You're met at Muirfield with a black wrought iron gate. And in the center of the gate, it says the Honorable Company of Edinburgh Golfers. And there's a security guard there and you open the gate and you walk in and you're in Muirfield. And it's like the most epic place ever. Like, so the way they do it at Muirfield is you go play and hit some golf balls. You go play. I got paired with a guy and his son, a couple of British guys. They were super cool. I had an awesome caddy at Muirfield, this old school guy named Peter. Peter, if by chance you're ever listening to this, you're a great time, man. He'd been caddying at Muirfield for, like, I think 40 years. So,
oh, wow.
If he was telling you to hit a club, you're probably, going to want to hit that club.
Hit that club.
Yeah. So we loop around Muirfield, and Muirfield is very cool and unique in the sense that it's not a traditional links where it goes out and back, because most traditional links as it goes out and back is kind of how the layouts work. And so you're downwind and then you're back into the wind. Muirfield, the holes are all kind of pointed in different directions. So the wind is actually doing something different on every single hole. So it might be a little off the left or a little off the right. So it's notoriously difficult to play because it's very hard to judge the wind there. But just an amazing golf course. And the way they do it at Muirfield is when you're done playing at Muirfield, you can go in and do the what they call like the traditional Muirfield lunch. And traditionally, the way they do it at Muirfield is you go in, you play in the morning, you go, you do the traditional Muirfield lunch, and then in the afternoon, you go out and you play alternate shot. Hmm. And you rip around in about an hour and a half. Like, you literally hit, the other guy's running to the ball, he hits.
And we're talking, like, when we're talking about alternate shot, like, only one guy's going to the tee.
Correct.
The other guy's going to be in the fairway, correct, ready to rip as soon as the ball
true,
lands.
True alternate shot. Unfortunately, they don't do it in March because there's not enough daylight. So I did go in, and it's really cool. You go in the locker room at Muirfield, and it is just like, it is just, there's so much history there. It's so old. It's so unbelievable. You put a coat and tie on. You take a shower in the locker room. You have to put a full coat and tie on, and you go in into the lunch area, and you do a family-style lunch with all the guys that played golf that morning. So I'm sitting at this,
that's really cool,
on this table. They serve you. There's a huge, like, unbelievable buffet and spread, desserts and prime rib, and, like, it's unbelievable, right? And so that was Muirfield. From there, I drove up to St. Andrews, got to the old course that night. I used Amex points to book myself at the big hotel there. I'm blanking on what it's called, but it's right there at St. Andrews.
The one that's on, is that 18 or 1?
Yeah, it's on 17.
17.
The hotel that you hit over,
yeah,
is where I stayed.
You have, I'm sure, obviously you have photos. Maybe we can put these on the video.
Yeah, so many photos, yeah. And I was nervous because I didn't have a tee time at the old course, but I was like, I know I want to play it, you know, and so... So I went to bed, like, I had dinner at the Jigger Inn in town, which is, like, the famous restaurant. I'm sitting there. I'm just, like, chatting with the locals, man. Like, and, you know, I'm having a great – and I'm like, so what do you think my odds are of getting out tomorrow? And most of them are like, oh, you're fine. Like, it'll work out. Don't worry about it. And so I got up at – I was a little conservative. I got up at 3 in the morning. And the way they do it at the old course is they have your tee times, which you can get – by staying at one of the hotels, or I think you have to go through a company, a third party company. They're pretty hard to come by. They have a lottery system, which you can enroll in within, I think, 48 hours, and you get picked in the lottery. Typically, I think you do that as a 2-ball or as a 4-ball. I was not selected in the lottery. Or they have walk-ups, and walk-ups are for cancellations or people that don't show up.
And it's pretty much singles only almost, right?
Pretty much. It's called the singles queue. Yeah, it's called the singles queue. And so I got there 3:00 in the morning. I haven't seen St. Andrews yet. So, like, I got in at night, right? It was dark. I'm at the starter shack. It's 3 in the morning. I know I'm, like, standing on this hollowed ground, but I can't see anything. I can see the city of St. Andrews. I can hear
Were they open at 3 in the morning?
No, nothing is open.
I was going to say, what number were you?
I was number 1. A guy showed up about 10 minutes after me.
Three
in the morning.
This happens every single day.
Every day.
Yeah. Every single day.
Wow. So a guy showed up about 10 minutes after me. He's an American kid traveling abroad. You know, he was, like, in sneakers and khakis and had borrowed a set of clubs and was like, I'm going to go play the old course. And, you know, like, we just chatted for, like, 2 hours. He's a really cool guy. All of a sudden I see the sun glimmering on the horizon. The sun comes up and just lights up the town of St. Andrews and where I'm standing. And I'm like, I'm looking around. I see the first hole. I see the, all the buildings. I see the structures. I see the hotels. I see the golf course. I can see 18 green. I'm remembering, you know, all the footage I've watched TV growing up about this place that I'm at. And I'm standing there and I'm just going, like, this is unbelievable. It was literally like a spiritual experience.
I've heard so many people that I've talked to that have been there. It was just like exactly what you just said is you can't even really describe it. You just know that this is a place that has so much history. If you're a golfer, like, this is something you have to try.
And, like, you know, about 5 minutes later, I see like headlights come up and there's a guy that like pulls in his little car and parks in the parking lot, walks in, unlocks the key, opens the door to the starter shack, walks in, logs behind the computer, goes up to the door, flips the sign that says open. I walk in, I walk right up to him. He goes, so you're looking to play? I go, I'm looking to play. I'm a single. He logs on the screen. He's like, I got 953. How does that work?
I'm perfect.
Like, that works.
Wow.
So I go back to my hotel room.
So, so you waited in line to get, I got you.
This is what you have to do.
That's what you have to do.
What time was that?
This was probably 6:30 in the morning.
Okay. That's actually better than I thought. I thought you were there with your clubs and like
I was there with my clubs because there's a chance that they're like
you might be the first person out.
Sure. Yeah. So I'm suited up. I got golf shoes on, everything. So I'm like, okay, I got a little bit of time. I go back. I have breakfast. You know, do the full Scottish spread, of course, which is unbelievable. I have breakfast. I go hit balls, which is a separate little facility. Drive my car. Go park in the parking lot. Walk up, and I'm like, all right, I'm ready to rep. And
staring at a 100-yard wide fairway.
Totally. And I'm hitting putts, and then like I'm on the tee, and I told him, he's like, do you want a caddy? I'm like, yeah, I want a caddy. Of course, I want a caddy. So I'm on the first tee box. My caddy's nowhere to be found. I wipe 5 wood right over the berm out of bounds. And
let me just slice.
I will say this. Like, I will say this. Like, I've played some competitive golf, you know, played in club events. I've never been that nervous in my life ever. Like,
wow.
I don't think I've ever been that nervous. Like, I'm shaking over the, I can feel the ghost of Tom Morris, like over me, just being like, don't, this is 100-yard fairway, dude. It's not that hard to hit it. Do whatever, block right, OB. And I'm like, oh my God. So I'm like, I don't know where my caddy is. Like, what's going on here? I don't know the operation or how they're doing this, but I don't have a caddy. So I'm walking down the fairway, and then I look behind, and I see, like, oh, this Scottish guy come running up the fairway behind me in a caddy apron. He's like, my name is Alan, you know? He's like this grizzled guy, right? And I'm like, hey, Alan, like, you know, he's like, well, you hit it out of bounds? I'm like, I hit it out of bounds. He's like, all right, whatever. So
he had seen it before.
So Adam, Alan is this guy. Alan used to be the greens. I want to say he used to be the greenskeeper at Carnoustie. And he said it was just a hard job. He got burnt out. He was exhausted. And so he's like, I just decided to start caddying. But this dude knew, I mean, he'd been out there for years. He knew every nook and cranny. He knew every single
thing. That's so
sick. So the golf course itself, look, I mean, I'm not going to spoil it for anybody. You're going to go. Hopefully you experience it. For me, I can say, like, I had heard from a lot of people that the old course was just kind of a goat track. Like, you know, just not, yeah, it's not, you know, people are like, it's not that cool, you know, it's just very old and whatever. To me, it's the greatest place I've ever been. I would love my ashes to be spread there if I die. Like, I'm not kidding. It had that big of an impact on me. The golf course itself, I thought, was the most fun golf course I've ever played. The most unique golf I've ever played. The shot selection, the shots you could hit. I mean, I was hitting bump and run 7 woods from 40 yards out. You know what I mean? And
that never
was
tried that before.
That was the play. Like, not like, not like that's not the right play.
Alan's like you need to hit the bump and run from 40 yards.
Exactly. Totally. Right.
Shout out, Alan.
I shot like 73. I played really good on 18. I hit driver and I hit wedge. The ball was resting over the hole. I don't know how it didn't go in for a shoe, but Alan and I just had ourselves a hell of a time. And I was like, I don't know that it ever gets better than this. Like, it was so fun. It was so electric. I played with a group of people. So this was kind of funny. You do get some strangers out there. One of the guys I played with had his wife with us, not playing. Filming every shot he hit.
Oh, jeez.
I'm not going to ask any questions about this.
Yep. It was pretty brutal.
Well, so, that guy's never going to hear this podcast. No, I'll just say that.
No. So,
no chance.
Yeah, I'm just not going to ask any questions about
it. So it was wild. So I'm like, this is the best thing ever. I'm going to do it again tomorrow. I canceled my other tee time. I went home. I had dinner at the Jigger Inn again. I had the fish, or I had the burger. I went to bed. I got up at 3 a.m. I said, I'm doing this again, and I might do it 3 more times. Like, I don't know. But so played it again the next day. It was even better the second day. I had Alan again, texted him. I'm like, Alan, I need you on the bag. I'm on the tee. I hit my shot. I hear his car in the parking lot pull up.
Andy.
Yeah,
Andy.
He runs up. He's like disheveled, grabs my bag. We hump.
Did you go OB again? Or you probably striped it.
Right down the middle. It's like 5 feet and missed. And then I shot like 73 the next day. So it was amazing. Yeah, the old course is amazing. Left there, and I knew I wanted to play North Berwick. North Berwick, also one of the older golf clubs in the world. It's in the top 100. everywhere. It's most people's like people that are kind of really into golf course architecture. It's, you know, some of them it's their number one. I think it's worth that. So this is the only other story I'll tell, and then we'll wrap here. But the North Berwick story is pretty cool. So I get to North Berwick, and it was the only day on the trip. I also played Gullen, which is really cool. North Berwick was the only day on the trip where I, for whatever reason, when I got there, I couldn't find a group to play with. And there was an American group, three guys who were like, we don't want a fourth.
No,
yeah, come on.
Is, no way.
She's like, if you're American, like, don't do that. Like, it's just not a cool thing to do. And I was like, you know, whatever. These guys probably suck. Who cares? So it's just me and a caddy. I'm like, all right, this will be cool. Whatever. We're going to make the best of it. We're at North Berwick. This place is electric. It's unbelievable. So
it's one of the best golf courses.
Yeah,
in the world.
It is. It is. So we're on the first tee. North Berwick is a very strange opening hole. There is a mound, like a massive mound about, I want to say it's about 200 yards down the fairway. And then there's the green. You can't see the green. It's a blind green. It's like over this mound and there's ocean behind it. Right. And then you get to the link style and you hit on two, on number two, the ocean is all the way on the right side and you cut the corner and nuke it over the ocean. And it's the first hole is kind of just like get you out there, you know?
Yeah. It's, yeah.
Not that stimulating. Literally, if it's downwind, most people hit 8-iron or 7-iron off the tee, par four.
Wow.
Because, you know, it's downwind. You don't want to hit it more than 200 yards or whatever. So I'm like, give me the driver, you know? My caddy,
give me the big
my
stick.
Caddy Graham's like, all right, I love it, you know? He's like way into it, right? I hit driver middle of the green. Like, I just nuke
it. You hit it on the green.
Yes. It's just like a nice feed.
Graham is like, right? This is going to be a good day.
Totally was 100% his reaction. We're walking down the fairway and Graham's like, yeah, man, I'm going to be honest. You know, like he's like, I get a lot of hacks out here. Today's going to be a fun one because you can actually hit the ball. Yeah. And so, you know, it's kind of an icebreaker. And like we're walking down the fairway and Graham's like, I'm getting to know him a little bit. And he tells me he's a member at the club. Which, you know, at St. Andrews has members, but like none of the caddies are members there really. Muirfield kind of same thing because they're, you know, again, you know, sort of the prestigious clubs or whatever, you know, open location. So, you know, I realize he's a member and I get to the first hole and I think a two putt for birdie and I kind of turned and it just hit me. Like, I'm like, this is kind of silly that like this guy's caddying for me. He's a member. I'm just going to ask. And I'm like, I asked him, I said, do you want to play? Like, do you want to just play instead of caddy for me? But I also didn't want to be rude because I didn't know maybe he like wanted the money or whatever.
Right.
But I just asked him, do you want to play? He's like, yeah, I'd rather play.
Yeah, no kidding.
So I'm like, cool. Like, yeah. You got spots, you know?
Dude, that's just amazing.
So we're on the second tee box. He runs back to the clubhouse, the locker room, you know, which is like, you know, whatever, 500 yards. And I see him running back, and then he comes back. And I notice, like, when he's coming back, he's with somebody else. I'm like, cool, he found a third, you know, this will be even better. And he's with a woman, and he introduced, he said, this is my wife. And I'm like, cool. And so Graham and I peg it. We hit it. I nuke one down the fairway. I hit a really good one at two. He hits one pretty good. Like, he's got a good swing.
Is she playing or she's just?
She's playing, yeah. Oh, plays. And I'm like, oh, you know, this will be cool. Like, you know, I haven't played with a woman yet. And she's, like, really nice.
In
and,
Scotland.
Yeah, in Scotland. She's really nice. Yeah, I mean, in general, I have. But, like, when, on the trip, you know. I didn't mean, like, yeah.
Yeah.
So she puts the peg in the ground. No practice swings. Takes a little warm-up and hits, like, a 260-yard cut right down the middle.
Just rips
Jeez.
One.
Yeah.
And I'm like, like, what was that? Like, okay. And so then, you know, we get down to the fairway and like she hits one to like 4 feet and it's like a stripe show, you know, like compressed, like down on it. Like she flighted it in. It like takes one hop and stops. And I'm like, okay. And I hit one to like 20 feet. And so the funny thing is like we get on the green and how I remember it is like her husband gave me a read and kind of was like, hit it to this spot. And I was like, that's just not the spot. Nah, it does not look right. But I'm going to trust this guy. I think I hit that spot and cashed it right in the middle, you know.
Oh, my God.
Okay, this guy knows the greens. Like, I think she made birdie or something. And I noticed her, she's got a little carry bag. And on her bag there, she's got these head covers. And they say Solheim Cup. I'm like, oh. And when she walked up, I'm like, oh, she probably got that. And like, she probably went to the Solheim Cup and it was like a souvenir or something, right? Well, I found out she was the captain of the Solheim Cup. Like, no twice. Way. So the tell was like four holes in. Like someone Someone's like, so in Scotland, the other thing that's really cool about it is there's usually walking paths on the golf course. And so people will go out and walk their dogs, right? And every dog in Scotland is really well behaved, which is another weird. Like, they're all really good dogs. Like, my dog could not survive here. But
I want to meet your dog. Side yeah, note.
You will. Someone walking on the golf course walks up to her and goes like, hey, can we take a selfie?
No
and,
shit.
Like, they take a selfie with her on the golf course. I'm like, who okay, was it? Is she famous? Like, what's going yeah. on? So I then turn to her and I ask, I'm like, okay, like, you got to tell me who you are. Like, obviously, like, this is like, I'm like.
Obviously, you're not a normal, yeah. like. Female golfer.
I'm glad you didn't like con me into playing you for money or something, yeah, no. you know, because you would have smoked
oh,
me.
Shit.
So she says, oh, I'm Katrina Matthews, right? And so Katrina Matthews, for those of you who don't know, she's the greatest female Scottish golfer of all time, like in the history of Scottish golf. She's won the British Open. She's in the Hall of Fame. She's in an honorary member at St. Andrews, like the whole nine yards, right? And her husband, Graham, who played with us, who's also a stick, was her caddy on the LPGA Tour for 15 years or whatever.
Dude, also, what just a super treat. Cool
guy. So Graham was like so pumped yeah. that you asked him.
I don't even know if he was like that pumped. I think he was just.
Don't beat around the bush, man. Like he was, I mean, yeah. this as a compliment. Like yeah. he saw like, hey, this guy can play.
Yeah.
I'm like, my wife and I would rather go play yeah. like, and she's going to enjoy it.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
where did he pull her from? She was just,
I think she was just hanging out in the clubhouse or whatever, and like, hey. He's like, hey, we got a time, let's go. And so, and what I end up finding out is they live on the 18th hole okay. in a very, very cool house, right on off the tee box. And so, played 18 with them. They were so fun, they were so nice. What was cool is I had the Autoflex driver shaft,
yeah, yeah.
And she's like, I haven't hit one yet, and I'm like, wait, you want to hit mine? And she's like, yeah, so she's like nuking my driver the whole back nine, like right down the middle.
That's sweet.
And she's like, where do you know how to get one of these shafts? And I'm like, yeah, I'll figure it out. Like, I'll get you one. I reach out to Jamie, and like, she's like, the TaylorMade people can't get me one, they haven't gotten me one yet. I think they ended up figuring it out or whatever, but so she's
like, you're her shaft plug.
She's just one of us, man. Like, she's just into clubs, into equipment. She's just so super cool.
Like, do you have their info still?
So we exchange info. We messaged each other a couple weeks ago on Instagram. She's like, when are you coming back? Like, we want to, you know, host you and have you out and everything. And I'm like, ASAP, as soon as I can. But, yeah. you know, I mean, obviously, I don't, you know, not to take advantage of her or anything like that, but just because they were really cool people and they'd be really fun to play golf with. So,
yeah,
I don't know if that happens if you don't put yourself out there and take a chance.
Honestly,
and,
that experience
yeah.
does not happen if you're there with another person.
Yeah.
If you're there with one more person, it doesn't happen.
Doesn't happen, yeah.
And so, like, you going out there and stick, you know, sticking your neck out there and doing something that makes you maybe a little bit uncomfortable.
Yeah. It
got you maybe one of your coolest golf experiences of
probably
your life.
Probably of my, yeah, I mean, definitely. And, you know, hopefully I want to have her, I'm going to reach out. I wanted to get a little bit of traction, but I'm going to reach out and have her on the podcast and hear her side of the story, which is probably
that would be
like,
fun.
Do you
got
think
paired
she would
with
come
this annoying
here?
American guy.
Do you think her and her husband would come here and we could put him up at the Murphy House or
I
something?
I mean, I think
that
if
might
she
be
wants
asking
to play
a little bit, but
Pine Valley, she can do that.
Yeah. she's in the Golf Hall of Fame, so I think she can go play where the hell she wants.
Yeah, I know, I but she can still, much, like, yeah. Like you said, she's one of us, and if she's
maybe.
Offering to host you,
I did
like,
tell her about Windsong, and she thought it was interesting, and she said, you know, she's obviously, I think she's played in the U.S. Open at Hazeltine.
Have you heard
wow.
of?
Yeah. So, but no, I mean, it's worth, you know, asking or whatever, but I mean, just, I now know her and, you know, and her
that's
husband
so cool.
and they're really cool yeah. people. And it's like, that's golf, man. You know, yep. that's the
that's
thing.
Really,
it's like,
really
this
cool.
is the episode. That's golf. It is such a cool sport. It is such a great way to meet people. And it's such a disarming thing to do. And it's like, you know, you build these relationships with people, you get to know people. And you know what? The other thing I have to say, which is a little plug for why I drafted them in our fantasy draft, that's Scotland golf. Because I don't know if that happens with Nelly Korda in the U.S.
Right, right.
You know, I don't know if that happens, like, here in this country, in our culture. And so...
Probably you know, not. I mean, just based off the fact of, like, you can't get into courses like that, yeah. you know? Like, the medalist isn't yeah. semi-private. Like, it's fully private. Mm. You know, you just... Unless you're a guest of somebody, it's not going to happen. Yeah.
Who do you think had a better day? Those three wankers from the U.S. or you?
Yeah, that's a great... Tony, full circle, brother. That's well done. Yeah, that's well done. Well, anyway, that's Scotland. Yeah, wrapped up the trip, flew home, went to work on Monday, and was like, I felt like a different person, man. I felt incredible. So energized. And it just, you know, like I said, if you're ever looking to go to Scotland and you want places to play those, email the pro shops, you know, it's totally worth it.
That's awesome, man. Seriously.
It's really cool.
That's a really fun topic to chat with you about. And I think this is something I need to heed is like, just kind of stick your neck out there and do something that makes you a little bit uncomfortable and something amazing can happen.
Yep.
Like start a podcast.
Hey, there you go. We're doing it. But don't.
Anyways. Yeah, that was awesome, Andy. Right, thank you for sharing.
Yeah.
Sweet.
We'll looking forward to the next podcast and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, everybody.
Later.